Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nevisesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Desitarane Om Agyana Timrahandasya Gyanagyana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bayevicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyam Namo Namaha. So this evening, we continue with this wonderful pastime. This whole adventure that Krishna has created is only for one purpose, and that is to bestow his fullest blessings upon these Brahmin wives who only think of him as their husband. If you want to go, then go, but do not come back. We will not accept you back into our house. These were the final words of their husbands. The wives of the Brahmanas were very, very unique. They had heard about Krishna for a long, long time, and they had a very deep desire to be with him. They performed their daily duties, simply meditating constantly on him. And now these best of ladies had left their homes far behind, disregarding everyone, balancing on their heads and in their arms many containers with a great variety of food. They walked behind the cowherd boys towards Krishna. They communicated with one another through eye movements, and occasionally they turned their faces to the cowherd boys. The submissive gopa boys ran ahead, showing them the way, and speaking in soft, joyful voices, they indicated the proper direction. And these ladies looked as beautiful as lotus flowers wandering over the earth. After going a short distance, they noticed that the creepers and the bushes were all bowing down in a humble, blissful way. And from this they assumed that Krishna must be nearby. And they went mad due to their intense love. As they arrived at the Ashok Grove, all their pain and lamentation and separation, all of it vanished. Shok means lamentation, and Ashok means without lamentation, and Krishna had chosen especially this place to meet them and assure them that now all their lamentation and feelings of misfortune from not seeing him. Now they were over. The grove was charming, with vines and newly decorated with newly budded leaves, looking fresh and beautiful. And Krishna was there, standing amongst his friends. They immediately recognized him. One after another, they experienced Krishna's exquisite bodily fragrance, his dark effulgence, more beautiful than a rain cloud, his transcendental beauty, the source of all happiness, and his playful, charming words, and especially the motion of his hand saying, "Please come." And they thought, "He who we have only seen in our meditation, we now directly see with our own eyes." Yes, they saw him with unblinking eyes. They saw him. They beheld their beloved. And he caused his intentions to be recognized. He had his left hand around the shoulder of Sridhar, and in his right hand he held a pastime lotus, and he twirled it. And he twirled the lotus round and round. He was saying, "Just see, I have seized your lotus hearts within my hand, and I am eagerly twirling them around and around." Or perhaps he was saying, "While seeing me, my heart, while seeing you, my heart is twirling around and around." This made the ladies mad with eagerness. His garments were effulgent and golden. He was dressed like a dancing actor with his dhoti tied up halfway above his knees. He was wearing a beautiful forest garland full of many flowers and leaves, and it went right down to his feet. He wore a peacock feather on his head, and mineral dyes decorated his body. Lilies were placed casually behind his ears, and a beautiful golden cloth belt was tied gracefully around his handsome waist. Like someone greeting a long-awaited friend, the ladies opened the doors of their eyes in ecstasy and welcomed Shyamasundar into their hearts. And then, still holding all their offerings, they closed their eyes and they embraced him for a very long time. They looked rather odd, standing before Krishna, stunned, with their eyes closed. But they were frightened to open their eyes unless he may escape through their eyes. These ladies worshipped Krishna as their husband. That was the relationship they had meditated upon for a very long time. And when they finally opened their eyes again, they were astonished to see that Krishna, who was in their heart, was also outside as well. Realizing the mood of their love, Krishna smiled graciously and laughed charmingly. And then he addressed those ladies. He said, "My dear ones, you are very fortunate and you are very welcome here. Please sit down and make yourselves comfortable. I see that you have very great love for me, and you have personally brought me food with great effort." Seeing that even after he welcomed them and invited them to sit down, the ladies were still very shy, Krishna personally went forward and he lifted the pots off their heads and placed them on the ground. Then he sat down and he called them to sit around him. "What can I do for you?" he said. The Brahmin's wives thought, "Krishna wishes to do some favor for us. He wants us to request something." Again he spoke, "Please, what can I do for you?" Krishna's deep voice soothed their ears, and these ladies felt that they had attained the peak of all good fortune, just seeing him. "I cannot repay your love for me. May you feel complete satisfaction within your own devotion and thereby relieve me of my debt to you." Yes. He enchanted their minds. He saturated them with spiritual bliss. And he completely removed the painful, burning fire of separation that they were always feeling. "Your coming here to see me is most appropriate because you are wise. You have fallen in love with me." Wise persons who love me are able to see me directly. Krishna continued, "I see that all love, to whomsoever it is directed, is merely a partial and a perverted manifestation of what is originally love for me. When someone reposes his love in me, their love is true love. It is a love that is limitless in nature. And when someone reposes their love in someone other than me, that love is not true love. It is false love. a love with boundaries, a limited, a conditional love. Persons who do not see me everywhere and see every situation, see me in every situation, remain always unhappy and unfulfilled. But you are not like them. You see me always, in every situation. I am by your side. Although accepting their love and bringing them near, the next moment he refused them. Dear ladies, now quickly return to your homes and your sons and your husbands, and this will please me greatly. Hearing this from Krishna, they considered his words intolerable and devoid of consistency. He continued, "You should return and finish the sacrifice. I am pleased by persons who worship me in my form as the enjoyer of sacrifice." Although Krishna's beautiful face glowed like the full moon, instead of pouring heavenly nectar, he now delivered bitter poison in the form of unpalatable words. The frustrated Brahmana ladies, the frustration of the Brahmana's wives' long-awaited desire now drained all the color from their faces, and their heads started to spin. Upon arrival and meeting them, Krishna had encouraged them, saying, come and sit down. But a few minutes later, he destroyed the creeper of their desires and made them miserable. Their faces turned pale and cheerless. Due to being completely ignored, an unbearable pain supplanted the joy they had previously felt. Their hearts severely hurt. Tears gushed out of their closed eyes. And giving up all shyness, they appealed to Krishna. "Oh, dearest of all, please, don't speak cruel words that pierce our hearts. You are everything for those who have nothing. We have no one else in the world. We have only you. Do not deprive us of the pleasure of seeing you. If you do, we will die. How is it possible for a river rushing down from a mountain peak to turn back and take shelter of the mountain? It never happens. It never happens. Rivers naturally flow towards the ocean. No doubt you are learned in ethics and morality, but your words are devoid of love. Until now, we have maintained our lives by hearing your sweet name and your fame. But where is your sweetness now? After hearing the pleasing prayers of the Yagyapatnis, Krishna beamed with a beautiful smile and he said, "Listen attentively as I fill your ears with the truth. Such stubborn behavior does not befit you. You must know that one who hears about me, chants my name, and meditates on my form very easily brings me under their full control. Such a perfection is not achieved by physical proximity to me." The ladies replied, "You promise never to reject anyone who serves you and says, 'From today, I am yours.' Now you must keep your promise. Our husbands and fathers and sons and brothers and relatives and friends will never take us back. They will reject us and laugh at us. Therefore we beg you, please show us compassion. We are fully surrendered to you. Please accept us." In this way they begged him not to send them home. Krishna replied, "O gentle ladies, when you go back, you will see that the devas who are being worshipped in this yajna will manifest themselves from the fire and they will offer all respects to you. Because you disregarded the regulations of the yajna and came to me, and then everyone will respect you. Do not harbor even a speck of anxiety in your minds. You will see what happens." The ladies continued, "If it is your desire, we will go home. But in a few days, we may be dead. Our husbands rejected us. No one will accept us. We have transgressed orders, neglecting them as insignificant. And we've gone far from our village and come such a distance to meet your good self, who is well known in Braj as being licentious. If we try to return there again, our husbands will not allow us into the village, and out of anger, they will kill us. Of this we are sure. When we were young, women from Braj, flower sellers, pan sellers, they would come and they would tell us about you with so much love. And that love, it entered into our hearts. As young girls, we decided we would not marry anyone but you. Our husbands know this, and they do not like us. We will stay in Vrindavan. We will take the darshan of the tulsi leaves that have touched your feet. We will just stay at a distance from you. Then, in great agitation, crying and crying and placing their heads on Krishna's feet, they begged him, "Please bless us, that we may have no other destination. Remove the difficulties that obstruct us from remaining with you." Krishna assured the ladies, "I know your hearts, and you know mine. If you think of me, I will immediately appear in this form that is present before you. I will appear in your heart any time you want, and I will exchange love with you there. You can associate with me without externally changing your position. This will be much better for you right now. While you meditate on me, I will very, very soon make you my own." What Krishna was saying was that your love for me will grow much faster by hearing about me and feeling this separation. It will intensify your progress. And very soon, you will take an appropriate birth as a gopi in Vraj. Carefully hearing his words, they fixed their minds on him, and they eagerly took his handsome form into their hearts. They disregarded his contradictory behavior and relished the splendid beauty of his wonderful transcendental form. Then, perspiring and shedding tears of joy, they transferred all the food onto plates of leaves and prepared to depart. Oh! And Krishna quickly gave them his blessings. His blessings revealed to their eyes in every direction. Wherever they looked, the beautiful form which they had just seen wearing golden cloth. Wherever they looked, they saw only him. After a long time, they returned to their houses. So the Brahmin ladies went back to their husbands and their families and their usual activities. but they had seen Krishna. They had had the darshan of Krishna. And they were never to be the same. Thank you, Hare Krishna.